Sometimes in life, we encounter people who teach us things we never knew we needed to learn, who offer a perspective that forces us to reevaluate our outlook, and who humble us with their innate wisdom and kindness. Sometimes, though, we also meet people who offer us none of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, Flats and Shanks.
Good luck, mate.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Shall I just start it then?
Go for it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast, which is the last one of the season. We are devastated to tell you. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin. It possibly might not be the last of the season. Oh. We might decide to do a couple during the lines.
Oh, right.
If we fancy it. I mean,
yeah,
it's up to us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up to us, actually.
I mean, we've built and grown this podcast organically.
From nothing to just slightly more than nothing.
We are the master and commander.
Yeah.
And we're brought to you now from David's luxurious room at the Hoxton Hotel,
Shoreditch,
room 102. Or better not say that.
Don't tell it.
Don't
all
come
the
and knocking.
Ladies, we come and knocking. Yeah, we're in the Hoxton Hotel. It's very trendy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lots and lots of gorgeous people downstairs of both individual sexes.
I thought it was. I honestly, mate, I walked in. I thought, right, this is the cast of MIC.
Yeah.
Made in Chelsea, that is.
Yeah. You see their receptionist downstairs. There was one guy in like a white shirt, Dutch guy.
Yeah, I undressed him with my eyes.
You did what?
I undressed him with my eyes.
Well, I said, wow, this place is full of attractive people, isn't it? I should have worn my tux as like a, you know, a little joke. And he said, yeah. And he said, beautiful women. And I said, hey, not just women. He goes, yeah, but all the guys are gay and you're not gay, are you? I said, how do you know? I can tell. I was like, no, how do you know all the guys are gay? Well, they're not, but most of them are. This is Shoreditch. And I was like, not many things make me feel uncomfortable. And he's like, you're not, are you? I was like, no, I'm not. But it kind of got a bit weird. And then he was like, do you want your room key? I said, yeah, I'll just take my room key, please. And you got to put your key into the lift, haven't you, to get, and it didn't work. I stood there for ages and we had to interact again to, you know, for him, so that he might make me another key. It was all a bit awkward.
Was it like an alpha off, an alpha male off?
No, it's like a beta male off. Excuse me. I wish I'd written that joke.
That bit of paper you got in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, you all right?
Yeah, good. Trove down from Cardiff.
Savage.
We're doing a Robert Walters event tonight.
Yeah, Lions thing.
I mean, since the video's been released, it's gone well. It's gone viral.
As my mum says, it's gone AWOL.
Yeah. And we've actually got Stuart Broad, the fan, the ultimate fan. He's coming to the event tonight, so we're going to interview him a little bit.
Yeah.
My first question is going to be to him.
Steve.
Do you know who the CEO of Robert Walters is now?
Yeah, perfect. If you haven't seen that, watch it, because it is, I mean, our bit is fine, but his bit is genuinely great.
He's the star of the show by a mile.
Oh, he was brilliant.
He's a legend, a legendary bloke.
I love that.
So it'd be good to catch up with him.
Yeah.
See if fame has changed him or not.
Yeah, well, I went after the video, we got stuck into the guys at Robert Walters, didn't we? And we said, come on, give him 2 weeks in New Zealand, not just a week. And they basically said, yeah, okay, we can sort some tickets out. We'll do that.
Mm.
So let's find out tonight if they delivered, shall we?
Yeah, that's right. He's going to get tickets to both tests, 2 weeks out there. Flights, not business.
Not business.
No.
I'd have turned it down. Mm. I wouldn't. I'd have taken it.
No, you wouldn't even fit in economy.
I wouldn't
fit
in economy, mate. Economy breaks me now.
I know. You need that extra little seatbelt strap, don't you?
The extender?
Yeah.
I don't actually.
Oh,
yet.
You don't?
I don't need that yet,
all
actually.
Right.
But you I did. Do. I was sat on a plane once and my wife pointed out that the woman across the aisle from me was heavily pregnant and she had more slack on her seatbelt at the end than I did.
Really? So you're saying you're bigger than a pregnant woman?
Yeah, but she was on the smaller side of average.
So we're both a bit tired today. You might be able to tell in our voices.
We reckon this might be the worst podcast we've ever done today, because I'm all right, but I'm in the middle of a family holiday in Devon, and I've come up. I'm happy to be here and do the event tonight. I just kind of forgot it was in half term because I'm not a great bloke, and I didn't write the half term dates in my diary, so I just booked it. And anyway, I got the train up this morning from Totnes in Devon, which is, again, a fair stretch from where I'm actually staying. But it's fine. Shank's driven a long way. And we're both a bit tired, and I'm leaving on the 7 a.m. train from Paddington to go back to a family holiday tomorrow in, you know, sort of 4 hours away. And Shanks is driving back to Cardiff tonight, having just driven here now. So,
the other day you said you got a speeding ticket in Cardiff.
Yeah, another speeding ticket in Cardiff.
I started to tell you offline about the Bryn Glas tunnels, which are the tunnels in Newport, and why they're always 50 mile an hour limit.
Yeah.
And
breaks me.
Yeah, I know, it breaks me too, especially late at night as well.
Empty roads.
But it's because there's been a load of birds. I started to touch on this before, and you said save it for the pod. So this is the first time you're hearing this.
Yeah.
A load of birds were dying because the vehicles were going too fast. So they lowered it down.
Hang on, actual birds. Right.
So they bought this.
You can understand with you being Welsh why I thought for a second you meant women.
Yeah.
I would never say that, but you would.
Chicks. They bought some sort of nature. What are they, mate?
Ornithologists.
Ornithologists in to figure out what and why. And they reckon it was a load of crows. Because when the crows are like feeding off roadkill, they have like a lookout. And whenever the lookout sees a car, it goes, car! But the crows don't have a word for lorry. and it's the lorries that are hitting them.
So you felon. Do you know what, right, listeners? Shanks started telling me this as we were about to start the pod, and I was like, mate, I do want to know about this because that sort of stuff interests me. And I stopped him at the bit where the crows were dying, and I said, just tell me on the pod. Just don't tell it to you. I haven't got to tell it twice then. I didn't realise there was a joke coming. I genuinely thought there was a reason. I would have been all right with doing 50 miles an hour instead of 80, 85 because it was killing crows.
Yeah.
I'd have been all right with that. But now you've done that, I'm dissatisfied but amused.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
You keep that. Use it at one of your next speeches.
Yeah.
Whatever you do. On stage.
Whatever it is you do up there.
Go out and wave, don't you?
Whatever you do up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motivational.
What have you been up to? You look, mate, you don't... When I say you look tired, it's never in your face. Like, I get bags under my eyes. I look 25 stone instead of 20. I just look awful when I'm tired now. I used to look at him all the time.
Yeah.
You look exactly the same all the time because you're still really fit. But you're physically fit, odd looking. But... your body language is slumped, and normally you're sort of semi-erect at all times in your spine.
I'm sort of, I am sitting in a leather chair, which doesn't allow me to be erect. You know, it makes me slouch.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah.
The boys are popping out the barracks.
Oh, sorry.
He's just lying here in a
pair of boxer shorts. For your information at home, we're in my hotel room, as we said. I'm lying on my bed in my pants. I've got foxes on them.
Who wears loose boxer shorts anymore?
I wear loose, but I hate tight boxer shorts.
Surely it's like oddballs.
Stop calling me Shirley. No, I don't. Oddballs.
Or like fitted.
I love the idea of oddballs. But
my dad wears underwear like that, mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the only thing your dad and I have got in common. I prefer baggy.
Okay.
I prefer baggy.
Okay, fine. What have I been up to?
Shanks is looking at me in my pants.
I popped across the Centre Parks in Longleat.
Oh, yeah.
For the weekend.
Avec famille.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it nice?
Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty decent there.
I hear really good things about that place, actually. But it's
not really built for someone like you. Like, treetop walks, canoeing, zip wire.
I've done all that, mate.
You can't do.
I can do them all.
Oh, you can canoe?
Yeah.
There was a weight limit, honestly, though.
What was the weight limit?
105 kilos.
I did it when I was 120 kilos, so you're lying.
Okay. It was just a red bit on the scales, really, and I thought you would have hit it.
Yeah, I'd have flown through that. We went and did that with the Bath team, the high ropes or treetops course, whatever it's called at Longleat, as like a team building day in the middle of pre-season. And this was our team building day. It was when Emma Geekin was our boss. And our team building day was gym in the morning, but day off training to go team building, right? Gym in the morning, like 7:30 a.m. or 8 a.m. So 45 minutes of weights, followed by an absolutely savage power endurance circuit, which took like 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Mm.
But everyone's spewing and dying. You're like, yeah, well, you're not training this afternoon. It's like, it's not a day off training. We all feel sick, you know? Then it's like, right, 15 minutes, guys, on the bus. We're just dripping with sweat getting onto this bus.
Yuck.
And I remember there wasn't enough room on the bus, so the team manager booked the wrong bus or something. So a load of lads had to wait for taxis and get taxis down there to follow the bus. So we're all sitting on the bus with no aircon, waiting for the taxis. Where are we going? Where are we going? We're going to Longleat, which is 7.5 minutes from our training ground, and consequently 7.5 minutes from where I live. And we went to, are we going to go and see the monkeys and the lions and the tigers and the wolves? No, we're going to the treetops course.
Yay.
And guess what? Excuse me. It's really easy. So we sit there, knackered, broken, boiling hot. And at the end of it, it's like, right, we've all done the treetops. So you do it and you sort of sit there for 25, 30 minutes while everyone else does it. Right, everyone's done it because we're all like pro sportsmen. So without being too smug about it, we're not scared by that sort of stuff as a rule. A couple of the staff were, which was hilarious. But we get back, it's like, right, guys, refreshments back in the hotel, whatever it is. You walk in. Sorry, what room were we in? Oh, sorry, we thought it was tomorrow. No sandwiches, no refreshments, no bus for an hour. We literally sat on the wall outside. Meanwhile, Twitter was quite new then, and all the Saris boys are tweeting pictures of them in bloody Miami at spring break as a team. Private
you.
Jetting. Oh, my God.
Because you play for professional sport, are you scared of anything? Seriously. Does anything scare you? Spiders
don't scare me.
Snakes?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen a couple, maybe. Yeah. I'd rather not go near a snake, but I wouldn't be scared if there was one on the floor.
See me in the showers.
Said, oh. What scares you? Genuinely, what scares you?
Carnies.
Circus folk, that
circus
is.
Circus folk.
Do you know what? Going. I like a fast car, but going too fast sometimes scares me a bit.
The Candyman, that scares me. Saying that 5 times in front of the mirror. I don't like flying, mate.
Really?
I don't like flying. I've been on a helicopter once. I didn't like it, so I sold it. But anything like that, I'd rather go on a small plane than a big plane, which doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
There's more crashes on small planes than big commercial liners. But I just got, you know, if an engine broke on a little small 3 or 4 seater, you can glide down.
Do you know this? Are you making this up?
No, that's my theory. This is my theory, and this is how I justify it.
Right.
But you know, if a couple of engines, all engines go on a big A380.
Yeah.
See you later.
Crocodile.
Yeah. I don't like flying, mate.
Surely it's just proportionately bigger, so you could glide in that as well.
Or scary movies.
You're not good with horror movies.
No. It's the music which gets me.
Interestingly, heights I really, really don't like, but the treetops thing at Centre Parks is not exactly scary in terms of heights.
Okay.
We did a couple of marine camps which were significantly worse than that.
Yeah.
But fears. No.
Balloons as well. I don't like balloons. Seriously, mate. People squashing balloons around me kills me. It's the noise.
Popping, not squashing. The scrunchy.
Yeah. And sandy feet.
You've got quite a lot.
Yeah, I know. Complex bloke, mate.
You all right?
You know, I can't handle like wet feet and then going on sand. I think it's because my feet are uber sensitive.
Yeah. Oh, so. You know, you said a while ago that I got elephant feet. I've actually done a bit of work on my feet.
Have you?
Yeah, I've like, had the sander out and stuff.
Oh, cool.
They're much
Black
better.
And Decker.
Yeah. No, JCB it is, like okay. The digger. Yeah.
But anyway, so I went to St. Parks, but I had a really good day yesterday, Wednesday it was. It was Sir Gareth Edwards' golf day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we're also celebrating his 70th birthday party.
Is he 70?
I know. He's so good for 70 as well.
Isn't he?
Yeah. So there's a few big dogs down there.
Who?
Zinzan Brooke was there.
Yeah.
Sir Ian Botham.
Wow.
Yeah, gave me a hug when we left.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Well, his grandson plays for Wales, number 8.
Did he?
Yeah.
I played with his other son, Liam.
And Beefy saw me sink a 12-footer.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he happy with that?
Tipped the hat to me, didn't he?
And he hugged you when he left?
Yeah.
Did he say, cheers, Shanks? Or what did he say? Or oh, cheers, mate. Cheers, Shanks. He's hugging everyone.
Walking to John O'Groats now.
Cheers, fella.
Yeah.
Just walking back to Nottingham, walking back to Trent Bridge, wherever these people live.
I've done a walk with him before around Cardiff. Did 16 miles, right? And he walked so fast, mate. And the only pace I could sort of compare it to would be when you're like 8 or 9 years old trying to catch up with your dad walking.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't know whether it's a jog or a walk.
Yeah.
When he's in the mood. So, but it was really good. Like, we played golf on the 2010 course. It was amazing condition. Their gin stops, barbecue stops, beer stops, scone stops, cake stops, the lot, all of it. Like, every other hole, there was, like, some sort of food or beverage.
Oh.
And
wow.
Didn't have to put your hand in your pocket for anything. It was all included. And then there was a dinner then after.
How was that?
Yeah.
Good. Black tie job or jacket, shirt, jacket? Like.
Yeah, smart cash. We had, I think it was the Risk of Male Voice Choir there, sang a few songs.
Oh, I love all that.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
And then there was a Q&A. Dan.
Did you run it?
Dan Walker. No.
Oh, for telly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breakfast Dan.
Yeah.
Loves poached eggs. Loves people tweeting poached egg pictures to him to join the club. Yeah.
Yeah.
He emceed it. And Gareth came up, did a
nice
bit.
Nice guy.
Yeah, lovely guy. Gerald Davis did a bit.
Yeah.
Tommy David.
Yeah.
Tommy Davis talking through that.
Any other sort of young fellas like you?
I might have been the youngest.
Anyone as inappropriate as you?
No, no, mate. It was proper smooth. It was like
prime, how was it?
It was prime time TV chat.
These are actually my favourite memories, as opposed to let's talk about that time we rubbed that guy's nuts in salt or something.
Yeah, we woke up with a belt around our neck, took it off, and
just snooker ball in my mouth, crying my eyes out, rocked myself to sleep.
And Ian Robertson, BBC Five Live.
Oh yeah,
commentator, he was there.
He's still very funny, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He is. Yeah. So it's good, mate. It's good. Feel a bit ropey today, though.
Mm, long drive for you, mate.
Yeah, I know.
We got a bit of feedback, actually, before we move on, because we've done it. I wanted to see if we did it as much as normal. I've been acting kind of natural in our, you know, in our thingy, in our, what do you call it, a warm-up or ramble. But we've got a bit of feedback from Tim Fisher, who... Oh, I won't read you his email address. I won't tell you where he works because you'll know his email address. But
Fisher Price?
No.
King Fisher?
Love the rugby commentary. You need to cut down on the banter and use of the word mate. I'm not sure what banter is. We have a bit of fun. If that counts as banter, I don't really like the word banter. It's like banter, but it's like, it's kind of, why do you download this if you want serious chat? I'm not saying don't download it, Tim. I'm saying I think we might have misrepresented ourselves. Cut down on the use of the word mate. It's like girls saying like all the time, which, by the way, does really annoy me. Views on individual player qualities are good. No full stop.
Just good.
Tim just boshed that email out. He has not taken any time over it, but I think he means it, otherwise we already have bothered.
Okay.
So can you cut down on the banter and stop using the word mate?
What should I call you instead then?
Chum.
Boy.
Chum, boy.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, comrade. What have you been up to?
Brother. Ellis Genge calls everyone brother. I might start like brother, but with D's. I might start calling everyone brother.
So apart from Devon, spending time down there. Any gigs this week?
I did this, I did this, well, I was at the Prem Final.
Of course you were. We'll talk about that in a bit.
We'll talk about that in a bit, which was quite a day, actually. And the day after, or the 2 days after, on Monday, once again, I ballsed up my diary a little bit. So my wife, kids, dogs got in the car and left for sunny Devon, everyone very excited. And I got in the car and went the other way up the M3 to Twickenham.
That would piss me off.
Yeah, it doesn't piss me off because I appreciate
you,
the work.
I was married to you.
And this is the third half term in a row where I haven't gone to Devon with them. So it's been it hasn't been awkward, but it's been a little bit of a, you know, there's been some rejigging involved, put it
Uncle
that way.
Uncle Dave.
So, yeah, last time Danny Grucock was down there because we all kind of go there together and I just wasn't there for the whole of half term. So he basically every day with his family picked up my kids and my wife, took them sailing, kayaking, boating, fishing. He did everything with my kids as well as his because I just wasn't there. So not ideal, but I did this day with Old Mutual Wealth at Twickenham. Now,
I think I saw this. Was this a motivation chat you got?
No, not so much motivation. It was they got this initiative called Kids First, and it's just basically getting 7-year-old kids to 13-year-old
kids.
How
ironic is that?
To have more fun. Why?
Wow. Putting your kids second, aren't you?
Mark Dunn-Smith does this really good opening gambit when he like stands up on stage.
You might remember my mother. I'm a son of Judith Chalmers. She hosted a show, ironically named Wish You Were Here. If she wish we were there, she might have spent more than 5 minutes with us the first 20 years of my life. Anyway, it's kind of like, it's very funny. But yes, it was actually, I did it with Alex Good and Ugo Monya.
Oh, yeah.
I must say, it was a genuinely lovely day. Like, three of us lads walked out at the end.
Yeah.
And we were like, do you know what? That is that, you know, it's that bit of what we call bitter corporate, whatever. It's an appearance where it is work because you're there for 6-7 hours on the mic and it's pretty exhausting. But we all left and said, do you know what? That actually is one of those things we can get in our respective oversized Chelsea tractors and think we've actually done something really good there because the kids absolutely loved it. The stuff the kids got to do, mate, I'll tell you briefly, they got to go on the England team bus, the actual one, go around the block, then they drive into Twickenham and all the parents and coaches and whatever and staff make a big tunnel for them so they come in like they're playing at Twickenham and they've all got cameras on them and everything.
Oh boy.
They go into the England changing room, they experience all that of a right route around, all that stuff. Then they go and sing the national anthems and the full PA system's on and there's hundreds of people there that they all know, they're whatever, and they're cheering for them and singing along with them. They play games on the field at Twickenham and they come up and all have their medals presented at the end, you know, like you've won the Grand Slam or Six Nations. It's brilliant for, you know, seven, eight, 9-year-old kids to be doing that.
Yeah, dream.
Really,
dream
really
big.
Cool.
Dream big.
Yeah, and then it was the long drive from Twickenham to Devon. And then and now we are back up by year.
All right.
We're all right. We're getting through it.
Yeah.
You've been largely ignoring me for the last 2 or 3 minutes as I've been talking, looking at your phone. You've got something more important to do.
No, I'm just trying to get questions and stuff like that.
Oh, well done.
Get them ready.
Oh, get them ready.
Yeah.
Should we talk about rugby? We've been criticised a little bit in some quarters for not talking about rugby, but we will, won't we?
We'll get to that in a bit. Do you want to talk about Bet of the Week, mate?
Yeah, let's talk about it, mate.
So, last week we bet on Exeter v Wasps. I'm pretty sure we did -4.
Yes.
We backed Exeter to win.
By 4.
It's come through. Exeter did win by three points.
Yeah.
What a fantastic game that is. We'll touch on that in a bit, boy.
Yeah.
But if you want to make these bets, make sure you go online, which is leovegas.com. There's a Twitter account, which is @LeoVegasUK. Leo Vegas, you know, they're sponsoring the Tigers next year. All terms and conditions do apply. You've got to make sure you're over 18 if you want to place these bets.
They're going pretty hard on the Lions as well, actually.
Yeah, they are. They are. Doing loads of live in betting with the Lions.
Yeah.
And obviously this week, there's only really one game on, which we can bet on.
Which is the one?
Which will be the Provincial Barbarians versus the British and Irish Lions.
Yeah. Now,
who are you going for? I mean, off air, you said you don't think they're going to win, the Lions.
That's balls.
Good fake laugh as well.
I think...
another one.
No more. I think
we're obviously going for the Lions, aren't we?
The Lions will win that, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, you toured with them in 93. Yeah. I toured with them in 05.
Yeah.
You can't not bet against them, can you?
No, I think that I'm not betting for them because I'm British. I'm betting for them because I think they'll win.
Looks a good team selected as well.
Yeah, it looks pretty punchy, doesn't it?
So what are we gonna say? I reckon the Lions by 25 points.
Really?
Yeah.
That's punchy.
Yeah. Opening game.
Should we round it down a bit? Because I was going to say 12 points. Should we round it down and agree 17 on...
17 points.
17 points.
Okay, so we're going the British and Irish Lions beating Provincial Barbarians by 17 or more points. This bet will be available on the website at LeoVegas.
Yeah.
UK, which is Twitter account, or LeoVegas.com.
Yeah.
Which is the internet account.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get involved. All the proceeds of this bet that we put on goes towards our chosen charity, which is
Children in Need, boy.
Yeah, so a well worthy cause.
Yeah, good luck.
Two great games at the weekend.
Oh.
You were at one, weren't you?
Wasn't it? Oh, yeah, I was there at Twickers.
Yeah.
It was.
Was it a good atmosphere?
Yeah, do you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say to you, Tommy, it is the best atmosphere I have experienced at Twickenham.
Really?
Yes.
What?
It's the best I've ever seen.
Over any internationals?
Over any internationals. The closest in terms of atmosphere is, for the entire game, is when England played against Ireland a few years ago and it's when Tom Court had to go to tight head because they and England got a pushover try or whatever it was, and yeah. Dan Cole was dominating. I forget what year it was. Maybe that was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. That was the, I went to Twickenham and thought, wow, that atmosphere was amazing. This topped it.
Not even beating the All Blacks in 2013.
I wasn't there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
So what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I go to Twickenham for pretty much all the big games now, and that is, it was fantastic. Absolutely, literally fantastic.
I watched the game.
Did you like it?
Really good, mate.
Mm.
So close all the way through. 90 seconds to go, mind. Wasps are pretty comfortable, aren't they? Referee shouts at Nathan Hughes, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Keeps his hands on, whether he heard him or not. It is quite difficult. When a ref is shouting at you and you've got your head down and you're trying to fight for the ball, often yeah. stuff doesn't go into your head. But I suppose they are the great players, the ones that, you know, are receptive to that and aware of that. And unfortunately, yeah. that lost him the game.
He was, and it's a shame that.
And he was so good all the way through.
Oh my God, he monster. Was good. First 10 or 15 minutes, I was sitting with Mark Durden-Smith in the stands, and we were in the shade in the stands, both of us boiling hot.
Yeah.
And sitting still in the shade, you know. And you think, he is a big unit, Nathan Hughes, 120 kilos plus, yeah. way plus, I'd imagine. And he started off just ragdolling people, just smashing everyone. And you think, where's he going to be in an hour? I mean, he's going to be in deep waters.
We had an HIA then, didn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't an HIA, though.
Blood, was it?
It was an HIA, but it wasn't his head, it was his neck, from what I could see. So I wonder if that was a bit cheeky, that. But anyway.
Did he do, do you reckon he went into a couple of Anthony Joshua neck exercises that you
yes.
passed on?
A couple of Mike Tyson rolls.
Yeah.
On a Swiss ball. So he was just immense, and it pretty much didn't relent, his aggression and his power. He was just fantastic.
I thought they had it wrapped up. With 90 seconds to go, they seemed comfortable.
Yeah.
Exeter weren't penetrating them. They weren't really making too many yards. Wasps were clearing the line well. And yeah. just shows you.
Yeah. I wondered when they left Haskell on and took Thomas Young off. I just wondered, yes, Haskell is mega powerful and experienced, but I just wondered if are you losing a bit on the floor there?
Mm.
Anyway, maybe that didn't influence the entire result, but yeah, it was mainly, my main memory of it is that it was physically savage.
Yeah.
It was absolutely savage. It was so hot. And it's one of the first hot games of the year, the final. The semis and the final always shock everyone when you're playing because they're so hot compared to the rest of the games you've played often. And it just looked brutal. And the final decision where Exeter are given the penalty at the scrum, which ultimately wins them the title, is just a really tough one. Like, I spoke to Di Young after the game and said, did you think that was a penalty? He said, no. Matt Mullin wasn't even on the floor. Francis was. Have they given Francis a penalty?
Doesn't it look like Matt Mullen going down before Francis?
I said to Dyer, I personally thought it was a penalty.
Yeah.
When I looked at it first, I said, that's not a penalty.
Yeah.
Then I looked at it on the replay and said, I think the ref's right. You know, we're a long way away in the stands.
But didn't the linesman call it?
I don't know, because it was...
Should do, mate.
Maybe he did.
This is what people are listening for.
Yeah.
Thanks.
One of them called it. But it... Yeah, it was a shame. It was an odd one because the three pressure scrums before that, Thomas Francis had real trouble and they'd got him going backwards and whatever. So I thought, you know, as soon as that went down, I thought Wasps' dominance over the last three pressure scrums on their line is going to get them the decision here. And it didn't. So I actually think it was quite, you know, you expect that from a referee, but nevertheless, I think it was a reasonably brave call if that's what he thought. But Exeter are kind of, you know, when you're in neutral, you're not, frankly, not bothered who wins, but they are pretty popular.
And I'm not that neutral because Di obviously coached me for like 8 years at Cardiff, so
yeah,
I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's a great coach, and I think he's certainly one for the Wales job.
Yeah,
whether or not he'd take a pay cut for that,
yeah,
I don't know. But you know, Dan Barr's there as well. He does a lot of fitness. So. DS Smith, also the packaging recycling company.
Yeah, you've kind of got links there, haven't you?
Do a bit of work for, they sponsor them. But, and it was a little bit disappointing for them. I was upset for them, they didn't win. But in terms of a team like Exeter, who have come up through the leagues,
yeah.
who have, year on year performed, never set the standard high, never dropped below that. A team that isn't full of superstars, it's full of a lot of homegrown talent.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful for them and the area, the city,
yeah,
the county.
It's amazing. Do you see the bus top tour they did?
Yeah, I know. But and you look at all their players, and all their players are coming from local teams, are coming up through the ranks. They don't lose too many players as well. They somehow manage to keep hold of them. You know, it's part money, part environment that they've created there. Rob yeah. Baxter seems like, never met him, but seems like such a cool, nice guy.
Yeah.
Always cool under pressure, watching games.
Yeah.
Never shows much emotion, probably really good at cards. So
think about the start they had to the season.
Yeah.
That is a pretty special environment to get from there to where they are now.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty happy amazing. For them. But
it was an astonishing game.
Do I agree with playoffs? I'm asking myself this question. No, I don't.
Do you agree with playoffs, Tom?
No. Even more so in like Lions year, where there's so much rugby to be played as it is.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer of if you win the league,
you win the league.
It's a league for a reason, because it's the best team over that period that finished top. It's exciting for people who don't really care that much and who aren't involved, because it's a couple of extra games and they're real good games as well. They're high intensity, but
yeah.
I don't see it. I'd rather just, you know, at the end of the season, whoever's top winners. Well,
as someone who played the season at Bath in 2004 when we finished top of the league pretty comfortably and were the best team in the league,
yeah.
We then, in the old system, we had 3 weeks off while Wasps, everyone else played semi or playoffs, whatever it was. They arrived battle hard and we hadn't played for 3 weeks, and we lost 10-6 in the final against a team who weren't as good as us over the course of the season, without question.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all very commercial, isn't it? And to that end, it really does work and it grows the game. But the purist in me says finish top, win the league.
If it was that great format, the English Premiership football would have taken it on.
Yeah.
So that was a good game. There was another good game as well, the Pro 12.
Oh, final. Fabulous! That
now, yeah.
A better game, probably. Maybe not as competitive, but probably better rugby actually.
Now, we didn't think the Scarlets were going to beat Leinster a couple of weeks ago.
No.
But they beat Leinster, and they played very well with 14 men. And Steph Evans was red-carded, but that was overturned, and he was able to play in this game. And there was a lot of people were backing the Scarlets on that performance. And to beat Munster in Ireland, 46-22, was incredible. And the way they went about doing it as well.
Yeah.
They've sort of set the standard now for Welsh rugby, and loads of people on social media, loads of people coming up to me saying, why can't Wales play like that? If the Scarlets can play like that, why can't Wales play like that? John Davis, I think now, is the number one centre on that Lions tour. I think his form over the last month has been phenomenal.
Through the roof, isn't it?
And that's a sign of a great player, because they're the ones that can hit form at the right times. It pains me to say it as well, because you never like praising like fellow
competitors. No, he's another guy that stole your life.
Yeah. But Steph Evans is one to watch. I really hope he gets a handful of caps now, and there's a place for him in this Welsh team on one of the wings. But all of Liam Williams, a great send off for him.
Mm.
At the end, he scored a try. Gath Davis looked sharp. Van der Meer scored a great individual try.
Yeah.
James Davis
with an S.
Not selected on the Welsh tour. Right?
He is not going to change who he is just for a few caps.
No,
by the way.
He's not. I thought that was a great statement.
Yeah, I love that.
I am what I am.
Yeah,
I've always said that. I sing it all the time.
Yeah,
but
hell of a game that. I'm really pumped for the Scarlets, because they're all good set of lads, but it's someone different to win it as a neutral.
It is,
someone
but
different
it's
winning it.
It's also the style of play, right? And
yeah,
I think Wayne Pivak's done a really good job there as well. But bringing in Stephen Jones, I think, has been immense for them, because you look at their style of play and their skill level has just gone through the roof. Little things, catching and passing, you know, when it's on, they already get the ball wide.
Yeah,
they've all seemed to have this understanding of where to be and what to do. Reece Patchell had a great game at number 10, and he's been rewarded by a place on the tour. Phil Dolman was selected.
Yeah, but he hurt his knee in the final.
I don't know. I think Phil Dom is a really good player, but he's around. He's 32 years old,
32.
Isn't he? And I'm not saying he didn't deserve a cap. He's not played well enough for a cap. But these are the types of tour where you develop youngsters through. Like Phil Dolman's not going to be there in 3 or 4 years playing for Wales.
No.
And you need to start blooding youngsters and getting them involved. So I'm glad Patchell's going.
Yeah.
He had a very good game.
Okay. I'm disappointed Dolman's not, because I watch him all the
time. Yeah,
I know.
So and part of me wishes that he went on tour to get a cap and was rewarded finally for his good play and being so consistent for Exeter. And I do rate him as a player.
So you think Stephen Jones has made that big a difference at Scarlets, do you?
I think so. I think more so often with the forwards, because a lot of backs naturally are better at catching and passing because that's their job. Whilst forwards, it's not really that important, is it? You know, forward, you've got to be good in the lineup, you've got to be strong.
Not your primary role, is it?
No, but they all looked so good. Bernie. One of the Irish guys at five.
Yeah.
I think he was struggling for a club a couple of years ago in Ireland, and you know, he's just found his place at Scarlets and played real. Shingler was really good. Barkley.
I like Shingler. I really like Shingler.
I tell you, Barkley, you know, if there's a couple of injuries in the Lions, he'll be one of the first, I reckon, in the back row to get called up.
So there's a bit of chat about all this, right? There's a little bit of chat about is it a coincidence that Warren Gatland's Wales are touring so close to Warren Gatland's Lions? And there's also a bit of chat around that certain Welsh players have extended their stay for a week or two. They're not coming straight home. Let's just say they might be available with boots and gum shield should the couple of knocks.
You only need three things, don't you, mate?
Boots, gum shield and heart.
Yep.
Two right.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah. So there's a bit of chat about this. Also, I heard a rumour that surely is balls. That for the game, what game is it, Tommy? Oh God, there's a game. It's either game, not the game before the first test, but there's a game.
There's a few games.
This is a game between tests or something like that.
Okay.
But it's miles away or something, and there's chat about another plane full of players being brought out for one game. Surely not. Just to rest his players because the logistics are too brutal.
I doubt that. You never know. But you know, you love a conspiracy.
But do you reckon Jamie Roberts is coming straight home from that tour? I don't. I reckon he's going to pop to Auckland to see some old mates.
Possibly.
With his boots and his hand luggage.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Why not?
Yeah. Always holiday near the Lions.
Did you? Andy Nicol used to. Probably still does.
Yeah, he is. He still is.
Got called up, didn't he, for the final test in 2001. Been on a sports tour. Drinking booze.
Every day, every night.
Apparently they called up Gareth Edwards first, but he couldn't make it. So Andy Nick was the second one. Did you watch the England Barbarians game at all?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yes, I did watch it, yes.
Where'd you find the time?
After I put my kids to bed on Sunday evening, cooked the barbecue and put them to bed.
Yeah.
My wife was at a school reunion on Sunday in London, so I had the kids all day and we did loads of cool stuff because I'm a great guy, and barbecue, and then we've got like a warm tap outside in the garden because one of our dogs doesn't like cold water when you hose him down.
So posh.
It's not posh, it costs 35 quid.
So
and
posh.
So we got this, and so I hosed the kids down.
You're the only person I know with a warm tap outside.
Yeah, but it's a lifestyle choice, mate. It costs less than parking your Audi in London just now. So we, the kids have a barbecue, they stand up, arms in the air, I hose them down, they go straight to bed. It's really easy it's just me. And then I watched.
Oh, that's prison showers.
I watched, England Barbars about 8 o'clock Sunday night, and
I haven't seen it, mate.
Must say, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in those games at all, but this one was actually good. The Barbars really played.
Whoever's in charge of Barbar social media deserves a pat on the back.
He's fantastic.
Or she?
No, it's a he.
Okay.
I asked someone, and I got I got given a name. It's a he. She.
Okay.
I got given a name, and it was a he.
It's confusing.
But Nangusa, the winger who plays for Montpellier, he was outrageously good. Outrageous. And I remember when I was playing for Bath, me and Jack Inouye, against Montpellier,
Danny Grucar,
we prepared for them and said, right, you've got to watch out for Marmouka Gorgodza because he's stronger than everyone else.
Yeah.
And we like triple, quadruple man marked him.
and almost contained him, but not quite. He was bizarrely strong, like bizarre.
Yeah.
And Nangusa was like, don't kick anywhere near him. Don't even kick it down the middle of the field in case they pass it to him out on the wing. And if he ever comes to a breakdown, I want someone shouting his name, then I want everyone to join in. Nangusa, Nangusa, Nangusa. So we're shouting his name because he picks and goes through all the
Nangusa,
time.
Nangusa, 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 Nangusa.
So he did it three times, scored twice.
Really?
Yeah, we knew it was coming and he was so good we couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
Just you play against someone and just think he is naturally 100 times better than I would be if I trained for 100 years. You know, yeah. Just so good.
I remember playing against Australia and it was like Lottie Takiri's first cap or second cap or something like that.
Yeah.
Just come from rugby league. So every kickoff we were like, put it on Lottie.
Get it to him.
Yeah, so we'd kick it long. Stephen Jones would kick it long, land it on him. No joke, mate. He'd run it back to the halfway line.
Yeah.
Boys fly. Wendell Saylor scored a try against us from his own dead ball area. Honestly, it was incredible.
You know, Wales, the golden years.
I found myself like clapping it on the way. Like, he went outside Gareth Llewellyn and Jamie Robinson, right? And it was like a turnover ball, so there was a bit of space. And then it was a one-on-one with Reece Williams. So Reece Williams is sort of blatantly over chases.
So he can get stepped on the inside. Doesn't have to collide.
Saves face.
Always force him inside, guys. Always force him inside.
And Martin Williams got a pat on the back for chasing Wendell Saylor down and not letting him score under the post.
Did he?
They still got the kick. Honestly, I swear to you.
Oh, God.
I swear to you.
Oh, it's tragic, isn't it?
I know.
Nugget giving his all for nothing.
I know. We'll have a few questions, mate.
We should do, just to finish off the season, maybe, probably, almost definitely. Here's an interesting one.
Go on.
From Nigel Roberts. There is kind of a guilty pleasure in thinking about knowing what other people earn, right? And it's weirdly, it is something that has never really interested me. I've never been that competitive about it. And I'm not saying Nigel Roberts, who's emailed in, is competitive about it. I'm not saying that at all, but it's quite an interesting question. Do the Exeter players, it's a very blunt question, do the Exeter players get a bonus to win the Premiership? If so, what sort of money are we talking about? Now, that's a pretty crass, crude question, Nige, but it's the sort of question
they would get a bonus
that loads of people will be asking, actually, probably mainly blokes, because blokes seem to be a bit alpha about money and women probably don't. Women are probably a bit more balanced about things. I'm generalising, but my wife wouldn't give a toss about that question, whereas the lads might.
Should I go with my estimate?
Yeah.
They'd definitely get a bonus for winning the league.
Yeah.
There's bonuses littered around the season. It's incentives a lot of time.
Are there? Well, there were never that many when I play. I think if you win competitions, there's bonuses.
It depends on what contracts you've got, because different clubs have different
contracts. Because win bonuses died out years ago in the Prem, from what I'm aware, like for senior players.
It depends how much your wage is as well. You know, so yeah. You could be on a lower wage but have a bigger win. But it is relevant to different clubs and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I reckon I'm going to hazard a guess at between 15 to 20 grand for winning the Aviva.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Okay. I would think they'll probably get something like...
Form your own opinion, mate.
No, I think the same thing. 15 to 20 grand.
Of course you do.
I was going to say 10 to 15, but you're probably right because money's gone up a bit. And they'll probably get something. They'll all get a smart watch as a treat or something like that. And
RPI.
Something like that.
I got a question on Twitter here from Paul Jude. Would Bristol have been relegated if they hadn't lost Steve Borthwick? Good question.
Yeah, I think. Don't know. I
reckon so.
I know their coach really well. Don't forget. And bear in mind, I've never been coached by Steve Borthwick, but I was coached by Steve Borthwick from the age of 17 when we first played together. So I know him very, very well and how good he is and good he was always going to be. But I also know Mark Bakewell, the forwards coach that Bristol replaced Borthers with.
Yeah,
and he is the best forwards coach I ever had. Like, he was, and Borthers says the same.
Yeah,
he's as good as it gets. Now the point is that it's like having a knackered system, a knackered dynamic, and you bring in Sonny Bill Williams, or you bring in Dan Carter, you bring in Bowden Barrett. They're still ultimately going to be knackered and lose loads of games because one great individual doesn't solve a knackered system like that. And I would go as far as say, well, of course we don't know. I would say Borthers is a magnificent, rugby coach, but at the same, and rugby leader, but at the same time, it doesn't get any better than Mark Bakewell.
But also
on the world scene, I don't think.
What you're also trying to say is that no matter how good a coach you are, you can't make a player, an average player, brilliant, can you?
No, you can get the best out of them, which is a coach's job, I think. But you don't. Well, clearly, everyone thinks that you can't. No, you can't make.
You can't make someone slow fast. But you can't make someone fast faster.
Yeah, you can't make inferior players better. The players generally weren't good enough. But also, the whole system there is knackered. So you talk about
what?
Bakes would never give me these sort of details. But then I have mates that played in the team and whatever, and some of them still there. Sorry, chums that played in the team there, and it would be stuff like, you know, Bakes. It was like he would get to a team meeting and he's chosen his pack, and it would be, or in a selection meeting, and it'd be like, no, we have to go with him this week for this reason and this reason. He's like, hang on a minute, mate.
Yeah.
This isn't who I want to pick for this game. And then you see him going into a game against Leicester Tigers, light in the front five to give people games. And you're like, yeah, this is suicide. So could Borthers have done any different? No, because the system is knackered.
There's a couple of points on Twitter here from Ben Parker and Gareth Reynolds, both really relating to the Scarlets about how good they were. We touched on
that. I know Gareth Reynolds. We share a Taylor.
And John Barkley, both mentioning him. About how good he was, and amazed he didn't get the nod before Haskell. Not quite sure about that.
I don't know, mate.
Close call, maybe, but I think they made the right decision.
I don't think that is an unrealistic.
No, it's not unrealistic. But I think they made the right decision.
Do you think they made the right decision with Haskell over Hamish Watson?
Yes.
Because Hamish Watson only plays seven.
Yes, I think I made myself clear in my yeses. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think you have.
What about ring friends in the Premiership, mate? Simon Hutchinson.
Oh, jeez. This is a debate that you kind of everyone who's got an opinion thinks it's obvious. Their opinion is obviously right and everyone else is obviously wrong. I've switched my opinion on that, as is my prerogative. I always thought, or for a long time I thought, yes, 14 teams, get them in. Then the clubs can properly pile in, invest without risk and all that. But actually, I think a really significant part of what grows our game is the risk at the bottom, the risk of going down. And I think the league would be richer financially, but poorer theatrically for it.
Okay.
There you go.
Where's incentive for clubs to get promotion?
I mean, they'd review it every few years.
I was about to say that. It'd be good to ring fence it for say 3 or 4 years and then review it and then.
Yeah, and you say Yorkshire Carnegie, you're playing Bedford in a 2-game playoff.
But there might be a huge investment in Yorkshire Carnegie or something like that, you know, where they've all of a sudden got a huge budget.
When they're guaranteed not to go down for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is, somebody might come in and say, here's a load of dosh, let's bring Bowden Barrett to play tight head prop for Leeds, you know. But there are strong arguments both ways, but I think the system we have at the moment, the rugby, the end to the season we saw, actually not really at the bottom end, but there were some dramatic times at Bristol and some big wins, they beat Bath and whatever. This Premiership season was largely magnificent, and I think it becomes possibly less magnificent if you remove the risk at the bottom.
Can we quickly talk about the Lions team? We haven't touched on that yet, have we? That's been selected for this weekend.
No, we haven't touched on it.
I like the look of the team, but to be honest, mate, I probably would like the look of any team selected by them because there's so many good players. But it's interesting seeing Ben Teo selected early doors at 12.
It's good. Get him into it.
Maybe that's a sign of who they see as a 12. They can't play Farrell, which is the problem because he's only just finished. Or has he? No.
No, he didn't play the final.
No, he didn't.
He's on the bench.
I
like Tio and Sinclair, not because they're similar players, because they're both really, really young in test terms.
You don't see Farrell as a 12, do you? Or you wouldn't pick him as a 12? You'd pick him as a 12 in the Lions? Oh, you would? Okay. Good. Nearly.
You're going to hammer me down?
Yeah.
I just go along with whatever you say.
Kind of whoop ass.
I go along with whatever you say, mate.
You know how strong I am.
Yeah, I know you are.
Monkey
strong. But I would go. I like the fact that Sinclair and Tio are straight in because they're young. They're not young. Tio's not young, but they're young in test terms.
And it's a good game to blood them as well.
It is, and he just gets them in straight away. So one week in, they've started a match. I think
It is a good team. I don't think their provincial barbarians will offer too much, but it's a nice start. We played against in 05, don't have told you, Bay of Plenty in the first game. It was a nice little opener before we hit
Bay of Plenty.
Yeah.
The Bay of Plenty. That's where Brendan Daniels from.
Yeah.
BD, Buzzy, Buddy.
Yeah, it just gets the ball rolling. It gets.
Excuse the pun.
Confidence.
Gets the line roaring.
Yeah.
I do think it's an interesting game, and it's funny how everyone for the last 6 months or a year has been saying there are no easy games, it's brutal. This has come around, and everyone's like, it's pointless, they're going to walk it.
Yeah, do you know Warren Gatland's son is playing 10?
Yeah.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Nice to give him a dig, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, so, tell you what, one thing that interests me is the commercialism of the Lions now, and you could argue it's got to be that way, whatever, but and everyone wants to make a quid, so that's fine, but the team sticks around for a farewell dinner where they're singing those songs and everything. It's all very nice, but the players that are playing in this game, the first game, they could have been over there days and days earlier, whereas actually they're arriving in New Zealand after a brutal flight, and they stop off in Sydney for a night, I think. And there's all chat about they want a bit of extra recuperation. From what I've heard and what I'm guessing, that's all balls. Like, I think their flights are sponsored by Qantas, so they have to go via Australia. So they've got two stop-offs on the way. Brutal trip, however you look at it, to finally get to New Zealand base. They're days later than they could have been because they wanted to go to they had this big commercial event going on. I just think that, yes, they might win this game comfortably, and I hope and think they will. But I actually, you're putting commercialism before the rugby. I mean, when we used to get off the plane in Australia or New Zealand, there used to be no proper training. You'd have little sessions in the gym, but no proper training for 48 hours because of proprioception, you know, balance, all that sort of stuff, coordination. And they're putting themselves on the back foot for money, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I didn't know that, to be honest, mate, but you're more in the loop than me. But there also has to be some commercial involvement because, you know, the tour has to be funded. You think about the money they've got to pay the players, the staff, the kit, everything like that. But I get your point as well. So I don't know if
we might have said this last week, but I'm really interested to know. I'm not objecting to anything because, to be honest, I'm not really asked, but I'm really interested to know where the money goes. Yes, there's loads to pay for, but where there'll be so much profit from a tour like this. And there's a committee, I'm guessing, in Dublin, a British and Irish Lions committee, I think it's in Dublin, that apart from their bank account, where else does this money go? Does it go to grassroots?
I'm sure it does. It is interesting to find out. Maybe you could do a bit of digging. I mean, they'll also have a full-time Lions staff in, which they'll
we're not doing any digging, mate. We've got a podcast. We get listeners to do digging.
Okay.
Can someone tweet us or email us and let us know, please?
Perfect.
Where the money goes.
I think that concludes what possibly could be a final podcast. We're not sure. Yeah.
Probs.
Keep you guessing.
So we'll either see you in a couple of weeks or see you in the new season.
Yeah.
All right.
Nostar.
Nostar.